Good evening. I'd like to call the study session of the University City Council to order on Monday, February the 11th at 5:30. Are there any changes to the agenda for tonight's meeting? Hearing none, let's move on to the city manager, Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and council members, tonight we'd like to visit two issues with you, and that's the reason for the study session. One is to introduce to you the concept of shared parking, and secondly, get your thoughts regarding the scope of the parking study. Colleen will be doing the presentation tonight, so I'll turn things over to her.
Great. Okay. So a couple of you know that we've been working on some parking code revisions, and a part of that was a comprehensive look at the parking requirements for all of our different districts and different uses, and we decided to add a shared parking component to that. And shared parking is a really interesting and important way that we can better utilize our space in New City. It is essentially a land use, a development strategy that allows for the sharing of spaces rather than producing many spaces for different uses. And this is based off of different peak hours of operation. So you wouldn't necessarily be adding congestion. You'd just be more efficiently using the space that we have in the city. There's a couple reasons why shared parking works so well. It accommodates and promotes mixed-use development, which is where a lot of development is going now. Usually there's several uses within one building to diversify the tenants and add more stability. There's more efficient use of space, as I said before. It reduces the amount of impervious surface by not requiring the sum of every required parking into one parking lot, but reducing that a little bit. It reduces vacancies. This might not be seen immediately, but when you think about reoccupancy of uses, there's been a couple of instances that I've seen so far where a tenant wants to reoccupy an area, but they don't have enough on-site off-street parking, yet there's available parking from a church or an office use, and there are restaurants, so those would have off-peak hours that they could better utilize that space. There's also less congestion, fewer emissions in the long run, more sustainable kind of practices. For us, we would have this be available through a CUP, a conditional use permit procedure, so there'd be a lot of oversight from the boards and the city council. Every time someone applies for shared parking, we would have you guys review that and make sure it's up to your standards. We would have a 500-foot max distance from the user of the parking in the parking lot, which is pretty conservative. We would have to, the applicant would have to demonstrate proof of compatibility of the uses, which is related to those off-peak hours I was talking about, and we'll do a little example later just to get some practice with how that'd be calculated. Additional exceptions to the minimums would still apply, and there's an asterisk there because we are reviewing those exceptions as well. So what is in the code is probably going to be a little bit different in just a couple weeks. And then there would have to be an agreement registered with the county that the shared parking agreement between the shared parking users is in effect, and that would cease to exist if a use changes. So that's essentially what the nuts and bolts are of what we're proposing. This is the table. It's probably difficult to see, and it's probably very tiny on your pages, so I apologize. But what this does is it breaks up our general uses in the city from employment, retailer service, restaurant, entertainment and recreation, place of worship, school, dwelling, and lodging. And it looks at, or it assumes, what would be the most like intense use in what time of day for each of those uses. So, for example, for entertainment and recreation, from 5 p.m. to 1 a.m., Monday through Thursday, 100% of the parking would be required for that use. So when we look at an example of this, we have a mixed-use development, for example, with a restaurant, a grocery store, and residential condos. So those are three different uses, and we've seen this kind of thing quite frequently. I think the loft development has a restaurant, a grocery store, and technically a bunch of housing above. So what we would do is we would say, for the retailer service, you go through this table and you apply what our code requires as the maximum, or the, I guess it would be a minimum, and say at from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m., it's most likely that 75% of those spaces would be used. And then you go through the whole table and you essentially add up all of those different numbers so that you find the time of day that would use the most spaces at once, and that is now your new minimum for that shared parking situation. Does that kind of make sense? Does anyone have any questions? Okay, great. From here, this is just an example. So for that example, when we would normally require 55 spaces with the shared parking arrangement, there would be 51 required. So it's a slight modification. All right, and this is the parking study. Oh, yeah, Stacy.
Be without required spaces. Without
yeah, it should be.
Parking?
Sorry, that's a typo. So
required
without
spaces
required
with, then,
with
shared
yeah.
parking. Okay.
My bad. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. So for our parking study, I think Errol is going to take this on for me. Thanks.
This is pretty brief. We're looking at different options for our parking study. We're going to hire a consultant on to pretty much do the gist of the work, but these are our options. We either go with small geography or full scope, large geography, limited scope, or larger geography with the full scope. What the consultant will look at is supply and demand analysis. Our areas to be focused on would be the Loop area, of course. One area that was mentioned was the Forsyth Boulevard, the side that is not residential parking only. And then areas west of Forest Park Parkway, which include the Clayton downtown district, which parking consists from those employers over there. our consultant involvement would be detailed data collection, develop a plan for improvements with us, assist with stakeholder business resident meetings, evaluation of our current parking policies, and also our parking equipment, which we're actually trying to implement some of those things right now with the parking equipment. So what our consultant will help us do is obtain, they will obtain parking information from the city that would be relevant to the study, including possible GIS shape files, and those are pretty much maps that they will use to identify where our areas of parking are, how much parking is out there. Our parking restriction maps, which include the areas that you can't, of course, can't park in. They will perform on-street observations. These are just examples of times that we can break down the different times with them once we get the scope identified more. They can do observations full, 90%, 75%, on down to 25%. Okay. Our estimated cost for this is what we really want to look at here. Is for Zone 1, it's $15,000 for the consultant to look at just the Loop area. That's just an estimate for them to get out there and get the data and come back with us with feedback. And then to add areas 2 and 3 would be an additional $13,000 as an estimate, which combined total of $28,000 pretty much for the whole package. You have any questions?
Is there a cost savings doing them both together now versus, I assume, at a later time or not?
I would say yes, there would be a cost savings, but we can get all done in one package rather than going back out for another proposal.
And then to you and also to everyone else, are there other areas that we're missing? I was sort of trying to go through the city where there may be parking constraints that while we were thinking about this, but as I was flipping through pretty quickly, other than the little strip along north and south between Del Mar and Gannon, there's really not other places that don't have a large amount of off-street parking available. So I'm trying to think if there's someplace else we need to add in.
More of a question. I don't know if this is later on. Or do you have you identified like what specific areas adjacent to like the Clayton downtown area that you're thinking about? Because my thought is, I know of some that I think should be included, but I know of some that I think really wouldn't need to be included, my neighborhood included.
Well, that's what we're trying to get an idea of from you all. What do you like to look in? What would you like to see inside of this parking study? We looked at Pershing, of course. That's west of Forest Park Parkway, Westmoreland, Maryland, those areas that will be hit by the Clayton Business District.
I think those are all good. I think Forsyth, actually kind of in its entirety, I think one of the issues on Forsyth is student parking.
Correct.
That is potentially extending many, many, many days at a time or even weeks at a time without those cars moving. Obviously, we've identified in the Traffic Commission meetings the western end of Forsyth. I think for some of the neighborhoods adjacent to the downtown area, upper Westmoreland and Maryland, Altadena, I think we could get feedback. I can tell you how many cars and who they are and what they are in our neighborhood, and I think my neighbors on Maryland could do the same. Those I don't think would necessarily be of a huge amount of value, but I do think that as the eastern end of Clayton continues to build up, that pressure will grow in those areas.
With this study, we also can look at what areas we can include in our paid parking areas as well. We could expand that as well, too. So.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Just curious, under consultant involvement, it talks about a license plate survey. I'm just curious what that is.
So what the license plate survey is, they're going to pretty much take a license plate reader up and down the road and see who's being, or take the data of the license plates, see who's parking there the longest, how long are they there in that same parking space, and so that we have a record of what's going on.
I've got two questions. One that has to do, when would this study be completed? Because I think that the impact on our neighborhoods and the loop and along Forsyth are dependent upon the time of the year. In the summertime, the loop is very busy with people visiting from out of town, et cetera, and it may not be as busy now, especially in the evenings, as it would be during the summer. And then we also have to consider the impact on parking in some of the areas closer to any large universities and when the students are in town, and whether or not they would be around and how that would affect the study as it's proposed. And then in the Forsyth one, you say near Clayton downtown, are you actually thinking of taking in areas of Clayton and studying those as part of our impact?
No, we're not going to take into consideration those areas. Clayton completed a downtown parking study. We can look into theirs or have our consultant compare the two with that area. To your first question, we were actually thinking that we should capture the volume that we have now with the students in town before the summer break comes, because they are the most consistent parkers rather than our summer vacationers.
To Councilman Cusick's point, though, is there a time period in which you get the nexus of increased commercial activity in the loop and the WashU students being in school? So I'm thinking like early May. That seems to be a time where everything's jumping off, everybody's down in the loop. And so almost taking a snapshot of, and clearly I'm not a demographer nor statistician, but taking a snapshot during that time seems like you would really see it at its maximum. But
I agree. Yes.
Couple other areas that I just want to throw out there. So what we were talking about on Forsyth is a 7,300 block primarily on the north side. I think we also have to take a look at Little Lindell in that 7,300 block, probably also the side streets, Del Lynn, Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And then also over in the first ward, the 6,600 block and 6,700 blocks of both Washington and Kingsbury have a great deal of, I think, commuter parking, essentially.
Okay. Yeah. Their scope will be more defined as we get more into it.
Yes.
Thank you. When you talk about the Zone 1 loop area, exactly what geographic area are you talking about? Are you talking about specifically just Del Mar, or are you talking about how many streets it's around that? on the north and the south.
We're probably going from, let's say, I would say Vernon to your north, and then up to Kingsbury to your south, and then as far as Big Ben, and then the city limits.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Kay.
I would appreciate a motion to go into closed session according to Missouri Revised Statute 610.021, legal actions, causes of actions, or litigation involving a public governmental body in any confidential or privileged communications between a public governmental body or its representatives and its attorney. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Mr. Hales, can we please have the roll call?
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay? Councilmember Carr?
Aye.
Mayor Crow?
Aye. Thank you very much. We'll be back up at 6:30.